Hi everyone, welcome back. This is Chander in Palo Alto.
Hi, this is Arna in Oslo.
You're listening to Valley Nordic, a podcast about business, culture, and technology from perspectives in Silicon Valley and Norway, but that includes all Nordic countries. So we are a bit late this week for the podcast, so hope we didn't keep you waiting very long, but we have a very hot topic to discuss today, and that's Clubhouse. That's the new app that's been, you know, very popular in the Valley, I think all over the world. I'm hearing from friends who are using it or getting warning invitations or are into it. So the structure we'll follow today is we'll talk about what it is, and then why is it happening now, and have a brief discussion on what we think about the future of Clubhouse. How does that sound, Arne?
Sounds good. If we're talking about Clubhouse, I guess we should have been on Clubhouse, but doing a podcast about it is sort of, what would that be? Un-meta or anti-meta or whatever, talking about it in a different context than its own context.
Yeah, it's only live. So I thought about that. Maybe we could do it on a Clubhouse, but then you have to invite people and you can't record it. So you can be on Clubhouse and do the recording on the side. That's why I thought, okay, it's not. Maybe, and you have to notify people. Maybe we can do one of the episodes on Clubhouse where we have live, Clubhouse room. And then we can also use a different equipment to record it.
Let's stick with podcast for now. It sounded too complicated for me.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about what it is. So what is Clubhouse, Arne?
Yeah, the best way to describe it, I think, is an audio chat that's in an app. And for the time being, it's only on iPhone. So it's a live chat. I guess it's still invitation only, although, you know, there's so many invitations around that it's not really, you know, hard to be on there anymore. People set up a Clubhouse room and discuss various topics based on what they want, essentially. And sort of typically a set of people who are the, you know, main participants, and then there's an audience that can join and listen in. And the audience can also engage if invited to do so. Was that a reasonable explanation?
Yeah, and I can add to that. But before that, if any of our listeners want an invite, please send us a note or send me a note. I have a lot of invites. The more you invite people, the more invitations you get to give out. So I still have, I think, 7 or 8 left. So you can get them if anybody wants. So I would say on the chat, it's kind of, you know, tricky, because when I think of chat, I think of the text chat we have on Slack or any other, you know,
messenger platform.
Yeah, or WhatsApp or whatever. But here, you can't chat. The organizer decides who can speak. So it's not like you can say, you know, in the middle of whatever. So let's say Arne and I organize a room for something, we have a podcast, so we will decide whose question we take and who speaks. Is that accurate, Arne?
Yeah, I would say so, but you know, it could be that there are people who are not sort of upfront invited to participate in the conversation and yet are in the audience, and the organizer can sort of pull them into the room to discuss.
Yeah, and you can join any of these chats happening, and then see if you like it, go in and out. So one of the descriptions I read somewhere which kind of made sense. It's like a, you know, think about attending a conference. You're going from one, you know, session to another, which are happening in parallel on different topics. You can go in and out anytime. People, you know, the speakers are talking, a lot of people are listening, and at some point you can ask questions, but the agenda is controlled by the organizers. Agenda and how the thing happens is controlled by the organizer.
Yep.
Since you are, you know, a money man and a venture capitalist, shall we share some numbers with people on like how popular it is on MAU, et cetera?
Yeah, so the first thing to say is that, you know, the app was launched in April 2020. So that's, you know, about a year ago now. The company raised a $10 million round in May last year from Andreessen Horowitz and has raised about $100 million. Let's see, the timing of that was in January this year. So it's already a unicorn. And sort of its, you know, main and big public backer is Andreessen Horowitz. The latest number I've seen on number of users, and they measure primarily the weekly active users, is 10 million, which was sort of the February number that's sort of been floated up there. Mm-hmm. And it's been through a massive growth spurt lately. And I think the steepest part of that was sort of February this year. The numbers that I saw was 2 million weekly active users in January and 10 million in February. So that is massive growth, obviously. But I think, you know, part of that is as well that, so when the app was out, it was, well, I guess it's still invite only, but it was probably in beta testing when it came out and so forth. So, you know, to make sure it was scalable, you know, not a whole lot of people came on in the early days. And I think what's happened over the last few months is obviously that, you know, they built all that's needed to grow fast. And I think there's been, you know, they've been pouring on invitations essentially to grow fast. And by being invite only, there's sort of like an exclusivity and scarcity element to it that attracts people. So even even if it's sort of been that way, the inflation has been in invites have sort of been a driver to the fast growth over the last few months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have you seen, Arna, well, thanks for sharing those numbers. Have you seen a faster unicorn status before?
I am not sure. I wonder if Brex had this sort of trajectory. Brex is a corporate credit card type of thing.
In less than a year? Yeah, I don't remember. No, you would know more. But in any case, it's like either the fastest or one of the fastest $1 billion valuation. They launched...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they launched the product in April last year. But was the company founded then? Or when was the founding?
Founded in March last year.
Wow. In less than a year. That's very well.
Yeah. So it's definitely, you know, very fast. Now, of course, you know, the way that I look at it, obviously there are founders here, but this is kind of a, you know, company in my mind driven by Andreessen Horowitz. And if you're if you're a big VC with lots of money and you're driving a company, you can sort of decide by yourself whether you want to have unicorn in a way as well. that said, it is a very fast growing company, and I guess it's one of these big bets, right? If you build a big social network, if it works, it becomes worth a whole lot of money. So pricing is sort of more or less irrelevant. It's more about proving that you can get there.
Yeah. This may be a tangent, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Arne. You think it may be because what's happening in the financial markets with SPACs, companies are going public faster, VCs can get exits sooner. Normally, normal route was IPO, the normal way, which is like 7 to 10 years. Or 5 to 10 years. With this, if you move fast, push the company, get to unicorn, then you can just reduce your exit time. You think that might be in play here?
That's not how I viewed it. I think that the premier venture firm still view us back as a third grade public listing. The better companies go either traditional IPO route or the direct listing route. Mm-hmm. I think it's more a big, it's been so that since Facebook came on, Snapchat, TikTok, and these sort of things, there's not a Twitter and everything. There's not 1,000 big social networks. Mm-hmm. But there's been many thousand attempts. Mm-hmm. And I think becoming a big social network is a big price. But it's high risk. And I think this is an attempt at driving pretty hard at it. A high risk, high reward thing. If it works, it becomes huge. It's super valuable, and whichever way it can go public, it does. And so I think it's more about sort of a momentum play to try to build a new big, social platform.
Mm. Audio based.
Audio. Yeah. You have to find a new format, right?
Yeah.
You didn't know that. That the short form video would be super successful before you saw TikTok, right? You just have to find a new way of, new format. You can't try to copy Facebook or something like that. These copy themselves. Facebook is probably the biggest copier of all, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But this is far enough away that it's not an obvious thing for Facebook to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you see the whole thing started with of social media or social networking. Well, I shouldn't say started, but got mass adoption was with Twitter and Facebook.
And, yeah.
Both were basically text-based. But with Twitter, people you didn't know, you could interact with Facebook. You had to know who you interact with. And then came Instagram, which was more picture based, but there also you didn't have to know who you interact with. So it's like picture version of Twitter. Then we had came TikTok after a long time, which is video version. That's also, you don't have to know the people you're interacting with or consuming content from. And what's left? It's audio. So this is the audio version of Twitter, I would say, where you don't have to know anybody. You go in, you're interested in some topic, you drop in that room and listen. If you like it, you stay. Otherwise, you leave.
Yeah, and I also think, there's sort of... it's this clearly Andreessen Horowitz play, right? So they use their own sort of celebrity status to drive adoption, right? Yeah. And invite their friends in. So it's sort of very celebrity driven growth. and the two segments that are sort of driving it is sort of the, let's call it the entrepreneurial ecosystem and the entertainment ecosystem.
Yeah.
So like all the big VCs and entrepreneurs and everything get on. So Elon Musk was on one in February, which essentially was like here, you know, straight from Elon's mouth, unfiltered all the plans he has, right? And it just drew a massive following. And likewise, there's been, you know, I'm not deep into the rap scene, but there have sort of been rappers on there, which are connected to people that are driving the company, right? So this seems to be, you know, momentum and, you know, celebrity-driven growth. And that's definitely a way to do it.
Yeah,
I guess the ultimate question in the end boils down to is the experience good and sticky, and it will it sort of self perpetuate as we go? Mm-hmm. It's a, you know, does it become a place people want to be and need to be, kind of thing?
Yeah, this is good, you know, entry into why is it happening now? Yeah. So one reason is there isn't anything like that. That's audio. We had, you know, video, pictures. Well, Snapchat is kind of pictures, but more that's, you have to know the people you connect with. So there are all these nuances in these social networks, but this is new in terms of audio. Then second, I think it's COVID, because you have, you know, you're sitting at home all day, people have the Zoom fatigue or screen, you know, looking at something fatigue. And here you can, you know, be in an audio environment. There are a lot of options. You go in and out, choose what you listen to. And then third, I would say is with, you know, we're doing everything virtually. So a lot of that communication interaction is by text, not like sending a text message, but the written word. So this audio kind of adds a more element, a higher element of trust, in my opinion. If, you know, you read somebody's tweet versus you listen to them on Clubhouse, I think that would carry more weight. This is my personal view. I don't have any data to back it up, but I feel, you know, spoken word carries more weight than written word in this scenario. And you see, like, everything's virtual now, and there is stuff happening like NFT, which we talked about in our last episode, then Robinhood type stuff. All that is happening via, you know, written word exchanges. The audio exchange probably gives you higher level of confidence in the interaction. What do you think, Arnav? Why is it happening now?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. You know, it's not easy to go down to a pub and talk to people these days, right? So you go to a virtual room and, you know, you chat to people there, and you probably have finished watching all of Netflix anyway, right? So I think there's something about that. I think you're onto something with COVID and that sort of thing. I think there's some more sort of element in surprise or spontaneity in this format, right? Because it's a live discussion.
Yeah.
And because of the way that the platform is set up, you can have more sort of very narrow topics, right? You know, there. If you go on, you know, ESPN, you have, you know, people discussing sports, right? But you know, here you can have like a universe, you know, a universe of parallel channels with very narrow topics, right? So you can maybe find something that's just what you're looking for, and with that spontaneity of discussions and some, you know, sometimes heated discussions, right? So it's maybe more exciting and, you know, something new, something fresh in a time where, you know, you're looking for that. And I think that you know, celebrity angle brings a little bit of that what's it called, the TV format that's not scripted, with reality TV approach to it, but in an audio form. So it's just a, I guess it's kind of a fresh take that people are curious about.
Yeah, you're right. There isn't much live stuff happening in our lives right now. You know, there are no concerts, or you can't, you know, you can't go to games. You can still watch them, but you can't go and meet people, have a live conversation. So I think being live, as you said, may be contributing to that as well.
Yeah.
And all the other things in social media are not live. Like you have, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, et cetera. It's asynchronous conversation. This is synchronous conversation or interaction.
You know, there are like Twitter and, well, Facebook and everything have had sort of live elements to it, right? Live video, you know, Twitter with Periscope and these sort of things. But yeah. But the thing about it is a lot of those live settings are either sort of, you know, not so much interaction between multiple people and you can't sort of dive in yourself in any way, or it's sort of been heavily produced, right?
Yeah.
And here it's not so produced.
Yeah. And it's also, well, I think it is, but it's produced in a way to seem like it's not produced.
But yeah, that's true. But I think there are definitely a subsegment of it that's very produced. But to be honest, there are clearly also a number of rooms that are not quite so produced, where people just go in and actually some of them are going a little bit haywire because they're not produced.
Yeah. It's like people used to think reality TV is actually real. It's highly produced.
Yeah, but to be honest, I was on in one of these rooms a couple of weeks ago where I was invited in to speak about this topic. And now, of course, it's not one of the big shows where you know when Elon Musk shows up, it's probably heavily produced, right? But particularly one I was involved in was not heavily produced because we hadn't even synced the topic properly beforehand. So, yeah, you know, there are clearly, because of the parallelism of many, many, many rooms that anyone can set it up, means that that there are lots of things going on. But of course, the rooms that attract the most attention are also the ones with the big stars.
Yeah. If anybody wants an example of not produced show, listen to our podcast. Ours is not produced at all.
Yeah.
So you reminded me, another reason why it may be happening now is it's passive, meaning you can be doing something else and partake in the room because audio only. You know, you have all these video talks and where you can just be a listener, but your eyes are engaged. Here, your eyes could be somewhere else. So it's passive. It could be a secondary activity while you are, you know, doing dishes or taking a walk or whatever. So it could be secondary because video requires you to pay attention. With eyes, here it's only ear attention, and the topics are not like you're listening to a class, and if you don't listen to everything, you may miss it and fail the class. It's, you know, more entertainment than anything.
It's a bit like talk show radio, except from it's not just politics or sports.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good analogy. I think a lot of, yeah, it is kind of radio. You can go in and out of different channels, and it's talk show. That's very good. Yeah. So moving to the discussion point. Sorry, go ahead. You want to add something?
Yeah. So, you know, we've now spent, you know, some time talking about, you know, what it is and why it's happening now. But, you know, what the big question is, will this stick? Will, you know, the big momentum that's building and, you know, the push to make it happen,
yeah,
will it actually stay? What's your perspective on it so far?
Yeah, that's the discussion part. That's good entry into that. So my view is, well, first, I want to say that since I, you know, develop products, the product itself is really good in terms of user experience. If you've used it, it's, you know, it has the feeling of sophistication, it's easy to use, it's pleasant. So as a, you know, product user experience, it's really good user experience. Then second, on your question, I'm skeptical that this will become as big as Facebook or Twitter or whatever. I think it's a good niche product. It's, as you said, it's like a talk show type thing, which has its followers, but it's not a massively adopted product like Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. Because a lot of people are trying, but we don't know the numbers of how many of them are repeating, how many people stay on after 3 months. But I've tried it a few times and it's, you know, you kind of, unless you find a group that you become a part of and then you do it regularly. So it serves a need, but not for everybody. And it may, or it may be, it serves my need once a year or something. I'm curious about something. And it also depends on how the product evolves. Yeah, like we are talking about how it is now. If it remains that way, I'm skeptical that it'll become a massively adopted product, meaning something that people use on weekly, monthly basis and spend like half hour.
Yep. So I'm partially with you and partially not with you. So
different perspectives.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that I'm likely to, you know, take on my grumpy old man angle here. I don't actually like user experience. And let me explain what I mean by that. Once you're in a show or a room, I think the user interface and the user experience then is good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the whole user experience. Mm-hmm. That is about finding content that you like.
Mm-hmm.
And that part does not work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I got on it for sort of the novelty sake and, you know, I have to try everything. And it's been hit and miss, or actually mostly miss.
Mm-hmm.
I found like a few instances where I found rooms and discussions that were really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I just get 100 notifications about things every day that are just noise. So I probably will turn off the notifications very soon. But for now, I just get notifications that I don't even look at, because I get so many notifications and it's generally too much miss.
Yeah.
So discoverability is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's live, so you sort of and you don't know when things are on beforehand. Finding it, and if it's there, even being able to slot it in, is just terrible in my mind. So I think, you know, there is a use case where, you know, you're in a group and there's like a theme of discussion and you meet once a month or once a week to discuss that in a room, and you know that that's on at this time. You can, you know, build a habit. Mm-hmm. But getting to that, unless you're sort of already in that group, is, in my mind, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think, you know, a lot of the growth is based on, you know, the celebrities driving it and sort of the novelty and, you know, attraction that it's a little bit privileged.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not convinced that it will retain the majority of them. And there, then again, we're sort of tending to agree on some of these points here. It's probably from a small sub-segment. I did hear some noise that they're losing users. And I also saw that Andreessen Horowitz was publishing sort of podcast recordings of Clubhouse. And could that simply be because they see that people don't actually manage to show up for the good bits? They can't find it. And therefore, they're turning it into a podcast format.
Yeah.
So you know, and you know, it could very well be that they tune the product, and you know, I'm the dumb one who can't find stuff. But I think there's a little bit of things to tune here for it.
Yeah.
Certainly work greatly for me.
So I agree with you 100%. Discoverability is bad. You know, and I think we both agree on the expected outcome. It may be a good product for a niche segment, but it's not a widely adopted product, or we both see it that way. So let me share about user experience. It's, you know, it's more about the, you know, feeling of, and one, I had different experience because I didn't turn on any notifications. I don't, by default, I don't use notifications because I want to focus and I don't want to be, gives people space to just barge in anytime or companies. Then second, what I tried was whatever, and I was trying it from, like you did, from novelty perspective, and you search for a topic, and it depends when you go in. I think the live nature is not helping them. It's like radio used to be live, and then we moved to podcast, so the users are in control. Here, I'm not in control. I, as a user, let's say right now, I want to listen to a conversation about NFT. It's not time sensitive, so why make it live? But they may change that once they get market feedback. You know, when you're launching products, you have to start somewhere. It's better to start with a niche and then expand. So we'll see how the product evolves. But the onboarding is excellent. You know, you get a text message, you press a button, and you're kind of in. And the feeling of, you know, the pleasantness is there, but discoverability is bad. I agree with you. It maybe when I went and 2-3 times, there was something happening, what I was interested in, and I found something, and I listened for a few minutes, but I didn't find it as engaging because it's like walking to a conference room in a conference. You're there in the middle of a discussion and you may not have the context of what they've talked about. So I don't know how they solve that problem. Tricky part.
I think there's a use case where it might turn up to be quite useful. And I've seen one instance of this, and that was, you know, at the peak of the GameStop situation with the short squeeze and all that. I tuned into a Clubhouse room with some very knowledgeable people who were sort of live commenting on the situation and what was going on, who was doing what, and SEC coming in and these sorts of things. That was really great, right? So I think there are, like, let's say, world events where, you know, people would turn on CNN or something, but then you get like this produced thing with, you know, experts. Whereas it might be other people who are sort of deeper in it, but who are not TV personalities, who get on and discuss. And I think sort of, you know, when something is happening and you're looking for the right angle, maybe Clubhouse is a good place to go and search for those discussions.
If you go at the right time.
So this is, you know, the external, something is going on in the world. Let's figure out what this is really about and who's the smartest minds discussing it, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's, this made me think of another way to look at it. It's like a webinar without video. It's like audio webinar where if you know in advance this is happening, then you can go in and listen to it and, you know, leave if you don't like it without interrupting anybody. But I still don't know their logic of not recording it. One thing I can think of is people may not be as open and direct. If they know it's recorded, they may be more honest if they know it's not recorded. But, you know, anybody can record anything. So I don't know how much that plays.
If you believe you're not being recorded, you're pretty gullible, I would say.
Well, most people are. You see what's happening in the world.
And actually, the fact that it's live makes moderation very hard. Mm-hmm. So I think this is, you know, there's already been issues about that. But I think that's one of the, you know, if this really scales, that's one of the hard problems here as well.
Yeah. So to summarize, I would say it's a nice niche idea with some elements of the products have good experience, others don't. But that's just the nature of the product. You can't, it depends when you go in, but they can, of course, make it better. So, I want to hear your summary, Arne, and then also your thoughts on the valuation. Let's hear from you first.
Quite frankly, I think it's too early to tell whether it's niche or not, but I think that the discoverability thing has to be solved. Or it's used for specific use cases. On the valuation, I think Andreessen Horowitz can value things at whatever they want. I think, you know, it's a big bet. I think it's crazy for where they are now. But if you look at the growth and having 10 million people on and, you know, 8 of them onboarded last month, I think, the valuation might look sensible in that way. But it's just too hard to see for now whether there's retention. And without retention, it's definitely too highly valued. If there's 10 million people coming on board, that's going to be retained. And it makes sense.
So... But it's retention and also time spent. We don't know how much time people are. I go in and I am out, maybe gone in 3-4 times. And every time I'm out in 5 minutes because I didn't find something or I didn't like what they were talking about or I didn't have the context. So that if they don't get the time spent engagement, let's call that engagement, without that, I don't know what... You know, how will they make money or how will they develop the model?
Yeah, but look, if you go in, you know, 3 or 4 times and those 3 or 4 times you leave after 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, you're not going to be retained.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people get tired of going in and not finding something.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. So would you as a VC, like, value them, what is their valuation? It's about $1 billion, but do you know how much is it with the $100 million investment?
It's a private company, you don't know exactly, but it says that it's now a unicorn, and I think it's part of the momentum building, right?
Yeah, of course, they are the ones investing and deciding. Of course, they want it to be high.
I'm not saying that the founders in this company have no say or anything like that, but it's, this is more a VC power play than your average startup. The way that Andreessen Horowitz have sort of backed the company in terms of content and getting celebrities on board.
Yeah, but you know, it works for both VC and the entrepreneur. The valuation, if the valuation is high.
You know, it's about the story, right? So you create this, you know, story about, oh, you have to be on board, and it's hard to get on there, and it's scarce, but oh, the celebrities are there. Oh, it's valued at a billion. Oh, you know, it does drive curious people on board to try it. And I think the unicorn part is part of that story. Yeah. But the important thing is, when people go on, do they stay? Yeah. And do they come back week after week and spend time there?
Yeah. So as a VC, would you invest in them at $1 billion valuation today?
Yeah, would I bet against Andreessen Horowitz, or would I be like to be invited to the company? You know, you probably would, right? But I can't explain how the math would work.
Huh. Oh, wow. I'm not a VC, but I wouldn't invest. So I'm glad we have different opinion.
Yeah, but you wouldn't like put all your eggs in this basket, right? But, you know, it's also about taking, you know, big risks for things that can be really, really big if it works, right? You know, it's very hard to argue against momentum.
What? It's, we don't have the full picture of the momentum. If, let's say, we knew the data on time spent and what's the retention, then you can say, yeah, it's sustainable momentum. You know, YOLO had momentum. I think YOLO, remember, like they raised, they were popular for a day. I forget the name. There was an app, you can just say YO. And then they disappeared. So
yeah, I know, but this is slightly more substantial than that. And but my point is, I think this company is more like, so let's say I invested, this is out of my range of investing, but say I invested $10 million at a $50 million valuation.
Mm-hmm.
You're more likely to succeed doing $100 million at a $1 billion valuation and make that part of your momentum story, right? This is a power play that may or may not work, but you might as well be aggressive about it, because if it works, the upside is huge, and the valuation is less important. If it fails, you lose your money anyway, right?
Yeah, but you're investing based on, let's say, Andreessen is involved. Let me ask another way. Let's say there was no Andreessen, and like norm average VCs that invested, or they don't have any, they come to you, they want $1 billion valuation at 100 million. Would you invest it then?
No.
Imagine like you have, you know, $3 billion fund.
Yeah, but this is, I wouldn't. I mean, this is not a you know, financial valuation exercise. This is a momentum power play with money.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, right?
Mm.
So it's better to invest at a higher valuation than a lower valuation, because lower valuation means less momentum. And yeah, without momentum, you're going to lose anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when I do investing in the public markets, not in private, and I just focus on fundamentals. So here I don't see, I'm not saying it's a bad product or there is no future. My view is it's a niche product, good for those niche people, which does not justify the current valuation at this stage.
Yeah, and my view is that I don't like the product because I can't find content I like. The discoverability and the fact that it has to be live doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
That said, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad investment, because if enough people do that, or enough people like that experience, or they tune it, a momentum investment might be a good one.
Yeah, you know, that's, as you know, a tricky thing about these questions is, we are making our decision based on how it is today. They may evolve it into something different or that works better or much better. Solve these problems in 3 months, then it justifies the valuation, but at that time it'll be even higher. So
it's kind of like Twitter, right? When Twitter came out, you know, it was, you know, random people sending out 140 characters about what they had for dinner or, you know, where they were going or something like that. And today it's the way to amplify a message for, you know, presidents or who else, right? You know, even if it's only 140 characters, if they expanded it now, it's you know, you can link in content, and it's an unfiltered channel to the world for people who need amplification for their messages, right? So who knows what it will turn into?
But it's so. Did you ever read? I wrote a blog post on the possibilities I see with Twitter in like 2008 or 9, and a lot of what you see happening, or some of what I wrote, is happening. So I could see what's possible. If you haven't read it, I'll send it to you. You may find it interesting. But here, I don't see these possibilities. I still see this is, I mean, they can pivot, but it's still a niche product. But we'll see, you know, who knows how it turns out.
Yeah. All right, good stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Arnett. So if anybody wants to try it, do you have invites too? Can people reach out to you as well?
I think so.
Okay, so reach out to either one of us if you want to try it and share your thoughts with us. Let us know. Thanks, everyone. See you in 2 weeks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.